So today, I just wanted to kind of just continue on this story of identity that we're going and exploring as a community. I'm just going to be kind of bouncing off Karen's last talk about the process of formation and surrendering to God's love in process. And then kind of getting into the true purposes He has designed for our lives. In this echoing and abiding with Him. And then I just want to sort of take a bit of a deeper dive and show some ways we hold on to aspects of our stories to garner love and value outside of Him. And we're going to do a sort of a walk with the Spirit, a response to a brief, really quick kind of brief overview of a set of archetypes of personality, little children. There'll be opportunity to respond and reflect there. For love to permeate and access unsurrendered parts of us. Okay. Recently I good job. Recently, I dropped Shell off at work, and she looked at me as she was leaving, and she goes, while I'm at work, Dave, could you please clean the car? She gave me this kind of like, she understood the weight of what she was asking. It was kind of like a Lord of the Rings epic level, like, oaths you have taken. Now, redeem them all. You know, we have a youngish family, and everyone who has young kids, or has ever had kids get in their car at all, understands what it looks like. If you don't, just go and have a look in someone's car out there later on. Oh my goodness, the mess.
Yes.
You know, the accumulated junk. So I usually try to just look at the outside of my car. And if I ever have to go inside for any reason, I just try to keep my eyes looking above floor level. You know, just keeping it at a pretty high surface. I'm not going under the... There's heartache when you go underneath that level, you know? It's like, is that a peach with a bite out of it, mashed? Is that mold on that peach?
Yeah.
Is that a tub of slime? The slime when the slime was out? Mixed into the seatbelt. Sometimes someone else will, you know, come near your car. You know, maybe the kids are playing in there, and they'll come over, and you sort of like get in front of the door. You're like, yeah, hey, yeah, it's the rain. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, they're just in there. I had someone get in my car yesterday, Camilla, who's here. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry about this mess. It was gross. Yeah, so this car is kind of like us. It's kind of like a vehicle of self, you know. And there's, you know, cleaning that we are not willing to do when it comes to ourselves and things that we'll just live with, you know. Like sometimes you open the door and there's a smell. And you're like, everyone gets in, like, what is that? The smell. And no one knows. There was come from somewhere. Something. But hey, this car is getting us from A to B. And we just get used to it. We just accept it. That's just the way it is. You know, sometimes things happen that we can't really ignore. And they cause us problems, like elements of the car actually can't function properly. Like you're trying to shut the door, and then you look down and there's half a tin of pencils, you know, stuck in the slide of the door. It affects the function. Even dangerous things like a water bottle sliding under the brake pad.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, you have it? It's dangerous, scary. So I just sort of want to reframe. Aspects of the way that we care about this vehicle of self, hopefully help us to go into that deeper space, the nooks and crannies. I bought some really hard data today. I pulled out all the stops. So what I've done here, I've plotted 39 years of me, of God's love for me, God's love for value for David Shooter, 1980 to 2019, so it's up to date. And it just tracks, over here we have love, value, or scale of love, and across the bottom you can see the years there. Sisters! So I'll just run it through it real quick. You can see things started pretty good. I was pretty cute. And then we went into a big sort of fall here into family. There's sisters, lots of fights going on there. A little bit of a peak where I did sound at church. Then I got a bit higher as I lifted my hand in worship that first time. The love went up a little bit. You can see there's a big drop in the uni days, basically a blackout.
When did you get married?
Go upwards and a big high peak when I became a Christian, got baptized. God, wow, he loved me there. Didn't he? That went up. Went down, fell in, did a bit of wandering and searching amongst religion. Come back to church. Oh, there's a kids, there's lots of bad fathering moments here. Wasn't into that. And, now I'm rising up a bit. I got made massive, so God's loving me for that. And now I'm doing a sanctuary talk, so obviously there's a peak in God's love, right?
And shells
depends on how it goes. Yeah.
Shells off the chart.
Yeah, but this could go down depending on how the talk goes. Does anyone have a problem with this?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Good. Good. But it's funny, isn't it, how we fall back and we create this graph for ourselves, isn't it? We create this striving for ourselves. And what I wanted to do is just use this to contrast what God's love is really like, especially as it relates to our value. God's love for us is not in flux like this. It's a constant. Our value is determined. So what does that look like? Now it's just this picture. So it's enduring, it's infinite, it's overwhelming, it permeates every part of its creation. It is Him. Nothing can separate us from it, and we can't make ourselves worthy of it in grace. Within the immensity of God's love for us, sin is a non-issue, it just dissipates into it. Through Jesus, we enter grace, believers are washed whiter than wool, and that's forgotten, the sins. So any part of ourselves that we uncover or that is held within us needs to be placed into the realm of doubt. If we journey into self, sometimes that happens in shame, but it doesn't exist inside of doubt. There's things to be learnt, but there's not guilt or shame, condemnation, because it's inside of Him. Yes?
Yeah.
Does that kind of make sense? As I've sort of walked aspects of my sort of healing journey with God, I've played with this story idea, and I just give it to you. I'm sort of not teaching it, but I'm putting it into our atmosphere. I think all the stuff I do is that. I feel like a placeholder teacher. I'm just kind of putting it in there and going, just have a play and come to chat. So have a try. In the beginning, God creates human, Adam and Eve, male and female, husband and wife, mother and father, and He makes them image bearers. Now, if before the fall, Cain and Abel could have, looked at their mother and father, they would have seen this pure reflection, like an echo of God, right? And Adam would have taught them life and echoed the love of God to them in a perfect way. And they would have learnt it, and they would have echoed that dance of creation throughout the earth. Right? And their unique identities would have added to and enlarged that dance. But they did fall. But the commission of image bearers still exists. And so we all enter the world through the gate of mother and father. And as little children, we want to find our place in this dance and in this life. And we look initially to our mother and father to bear it to us. And if they are absent or missing, someone will fill that place, will hold that place for us. And of course, this dance is mirrored imperfectly. Just as now, as we try to reflect it, we do it imperfectly. You know? As mothers and fathers. We have to hold self-compassion in this. And so we sort of grow and form around that first sort of imperfect base. Then as other life events and people impact the story in different ways, good and bad, we add to this story of ourselves and continue to form around it. And we kind of perform this broken dance through life. That's the driving of the car, you know, despite the smell. And always there's this yearning beneath, something burning. There's something that wants to find its way home in us. Jesus bore the image. He echoed his Father on earth, saying, "The Son only does what he sees the Father doing." And they released the Spirit to us who now abides. So the journey of wholeness and healing, as we allow the Spirit to search us and know us, and the surrendering of that measure to Him is the walk of walking in a fullness of life with Him. In Romans 8:12-16 it says, "If you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." I just love that picture of our spirit, like calling out with the Holy Spirit, you know. I just recently had a kind of experience of it. I was She had a situation come up. She needed to take courage, bit of conflict in friendship. And I was just, on that day, I was in the kitchen. I think I was washing up and was just praying for her. And as I was praying for her, I was just sort of, you know, just let there be redemption and let, you know, there be truth and restoration in this friendship, love be there. And as I was doing that, I was just getting all these like flashes and images back of Shell. And just like moments that we shared and things that she's overcome. And I was just kind of praying this out. And as it was, it's, you know, sometimes when the stuff of the Spirit comes in a kind of a flash of knowing, like you're not really like looking at one thing. It's just I'm receiving a lot of information in my spirit and it's all at once. And I was, as that was happening, I was just sort of like, oh, wow, you know, just spinning out about Shell. And I was just like, "You're awesome, you know, Michelle, I love you." You know, like this. And I felt in the next to me, the Spirit. And as I looked across, He was there. Going like this. And he goes, "Man," he goes, "I love her too." And I kind of was like, oh, you know. And as I was sort of, you know, thinking about it, telling Shell later, you know, that this adds, what adds has been saying, or I've heard it kind of coming out, is get into Jesus' prayer for your life. You know, and it was just, it felt like I didn't actually choose that. I just was there in this spot. But it was like, wow, it was lovely just to taste that, the Holy Spirit calling out with us. So in that verse, you saw there's a movement of our identity from suffering under the effects of the natural realm into kingdom reality. And in Romans 8, Paul describes the process of walking from the desires and drives of the flesh as putting something to death. Just like death. That the Spirit gives to us, helps us abide, is with us, calls out with us, and helps us to bring this freedom. Enable us to call God Father and inherit this fullness of life. Which is, you know, the fullness to love God, love others, and love ourselves inside of that. Everyone all right? All good? I'm just going to do it's kind of the stories of nine little co-heirs, okay? This is how we're sort of just going to walk it, all right? I love understanding character. I love writing about characters. I love working out what drives a character when I'm writing my stories. And I've found different personality types or different tools like that have really helped me. And it's usually inside of a work that the Spirit is already doing. It's like it's these tools that resource information that He takes and uses, and I found a lot of healing inside of that. It's really helped me and Shell as well in communicating and just starting conversations about how we operate, how we're built, how we're formed within our marriage. And you know, there was times where I'm like, I've known you for 10 years we've been walking this. I didn't know that was something that was a drive within you, you know, like that was something that was there. Help me to access and exercise grace for myself and others. I hope that something of this might resonate, that it might be some sort of a key into your walk that the Spirit can just start to talk with you on and walk with you with. And just listen to the Spirit's voice as we. As we do this, take notes or let Him do the work. So a brief outline, and I'll just... I'll just click us over. So here's a child. A child who felt heavily criticized, punished, or not good enough in a house where the rules may have felt inconsistent. As such, they became obsessed with being good and not making mistakes to avoid condemnation. They learnt to tell themselves, "You must always be better than you are." What grew was the drive to be perfect, and they became highly tuned to any mistakes. Firstly, their own. Frustrations turned in harshly towards themselves, a noisy, relentless inner critic. Constantly aware of how far they are from their ideals, they feel like they can't seem to measure up. You can see this in this child, a desire just to be good, but it turns into something that... a desire to create their own perfection that we can't create. Just as a child, felt rewarded only for what they did and how well they did it. Their feelings were discounted and ignored. Only their performance and what was expected of them mattered. Oh, sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. I'm sorry, that was the next one. A child that felt loved only if they were helping or pleasing others. That's better. their personal needs felt selfish. As a result, they closed off their own needs and feelings and tuned into those of others. Love became defined as giving to others, though love often didn't feel received or reciprocated. As an adult, they intuitively see the needs of others, especially emotional, and ache for them. But being honest about their own needs brings up shame and a fear of rejection, that they won't be loved for themselves. A child felt rewarded only for what they did and how well they did it. Their feelings were discounted and ignored. Only their performance and what was expected of them mattered. This harmed their ability to love themselves and others. As they grew, a competitive nature to prove themselves valuable developed. Admiration and acquiring praise replaced real love. And like a chameleon, they changed into any required role to achieve the goals. Believe that love comes from achievement, image, and status. With a child that felt abandoned by one or both caretakers, they felt alone and cut off from the source of love for reasons that they couldn't understand. They were not seen or mirrored and felt different from their parents. And as a result, they turned inward to their feelings and imagination to cope in isolation. As an adult, there is an ache to be understood, a deep desire to be known. Looking at other people's lives and believing that others have it better. They over-identify with their flaws and are in a perpetual search for their own significance. They're able to see the beauty in all things, yet unable to see the beauty within themselves. A child that receives no meaningful interaction, emotion or affection from caretakers, or who are intrusive or over-controlling parent. Feeling of being exposed and defenseless in the face of this intrusion. As a result, they built walls around themselves and retreated to the mental realm. As they grew, so did the feeling that there is not enough. A clinging to what they do have to protect their energy. They hoard in what they have learnt and are reluctant to share themselves, their time, or their possessions. They feel diminished by participation with others and life generally. Here's a child that was raised in an unpredictable situation with no safe place to go. They lost faith that they would ever be protected, and as such they turned to their own inner defense of doubting, disbelieving reality, and rejecting their own instincts and inner guidance. As they grew, rather than trust themselves, they reach out externally to create a sense of groundedness inside. Fear that they will be lost. They seek out support structures and systems and leadership required to feel safe. Experience fear as anxiety, angst, or an irrational overthinking process. Here's a child that was deprived of nurturing, or it was too soon removed. They handled this lack by searching for distractions to minimize pain and repress fear. They decided to focus on positive options and rely on themselves to fulfill the desires and gain a sense of nurturance. As they grew, they avoid pain by escaping into pleasure, fun and imagination. More is better. Stay distracted and looking for opportunities to stay away from inner aches. Always thinking ahead towards better possibilities and more enjoyment. Constant planning. is a child that grew up in an unsafe environment, emotionally and or physically, and had to mature way too soon. They didn't feel safe to show any vulnerability and may have felt controlled. Weakness was used against them, so they focused only on building their strength. As they grow, they learn to set themselves against everything, assert control over self and environment, and to create safety. Displays of strength and aggression to test what others are made of, to see if they are worthy of trust. Passionate and forceful, they overdo to feel alive. Last one. This child was overlooked or neglected and felt unimportant or lost. They were ignored or attacked for having needs or expressing themselves, especially anger, and decided to keep a low profile and instead focus on the needs or experiences of others. As they grew, they learned to forget the self in order to gain love and belonging. They avoid conflict to sidestep the pain of loss and separation, seek harmony and peace at any price, but loses personal boundaries and priorities. Forget themselves and merges with others, and doesn't pay attention to own needs or desires. When they get close to something that matters, they diminish the desire to the pain of their needs not getting met, and focus on harmony and creating comfort, avoiding changes or necessary action. Yeah, I hope that was okay. It was pretty, is everyone okay? I hope the, I hope something, Spirit took you into something of that. Just fed you a little piece of it. Ultimately, inside each of those things, inside of those characters, inside of those children and then adults, there's ways that we've strived to find and garner value and love. Like someone by always being loving to everyone else around them, but no love for themselves. That's not love. That's not the fullness of love that God has for us. And because these drives and ways of being are so fundamental and happen early on and then form up, it can feel very hard to give some of those things up. You know, it does feel like a death. And yet there is a deep yearning in each to find rest from these drives, to find a place of just being able to be with the Lord. And each of those modes sort of creates a way of not being in that space with God, looking forward to the future, not being with the I am. I don't know if anyone wants to share anything from that, but I'm just going to pray and just kind of leave that with you. I imagine that there'll be a ministry time now. Music? I hope. Lord, I just pray that you would do a deep work with us. I thank you that we are transformed in you, and that you speak to us about the things that we are carrying, and you allow us to process them. You walk with us to understand them. You help us to drop them and remove them so that our capacity to increase, your increase, can permeate across the whole of our being, and not just to the bits that we've decided to surrender to you or allowed you to permeate.
Would anyone like to respond to anything or ask a question of Snow as we're praying about these things? This will all be available later tonight as well for you to eat through and to look at. I'm just thinking right now, what a beautiful model to be able to minister to people, to be able to help people understand what they might not understand as a child now that they are an adult. It makes you reflect on the fact that we are a bunch of little pieces brought together by different things, but He can make us whole. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you for the courage you had to actually step into those things, Snow. It's wow. Is there any questions you want to ask Snow? Responses you want to give? Feel free to come and do that. When we look at this, I'm just like visually, I love this stuff, but I'm thinking this needs to have a space on our site, like a full space where we can actually explore this and help people understand the brokenness they've been through, the formation they didn't have or did have, and then how we can actually, as a kingdom family, come alongside people and see them come into a full restoration of who they are.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most beautiful things about Jesus, is that He said, come to me, the little kids. Bring the little kids to me. And so I love that fact that we can look at formation from the view of lenses, different lenses of how we were brought into this world. What's interesting as well, Snow, when you think, when you're talking, is about the fact that there's the language you used around, like, and I'm just that picture of facing that figure. I think that's hard enough for some people just to face the figure that they had or the figure they didn't have. And as you said, that first imprint that we get, the Spirit needs to work on so we can actually come into who we actually are. And you can see the enemy's trickery as well, and how he tries to trick us into believing that we are someone that we're completely not. And so thank you for such a brave heart in doing that. Would anyone like to respond or ask a question? Let's do some body ministry. Amen.
Yeah, that was good, Snow. Teaching stuff. Yeah. I don't know, I saw myself in a few of those, and I just, it just reminds me, like, of how, like, I guess, flawed that we all are. But God's love is deep, and I guess we won't understand the fullness of it till, I guess, we're transformed fully into His image. But yeah, a few of those, you know, like trying to earn love, you know, measure up, and all that stuff. It's just not what God's about. Like, He loves us regardless, you know, and yeah, so it's not works, it's just he loves us all. It doesn't matter what we do, even if we do bad stuff, even if you're a murderer, even if you do, even if you're Hitler, his love is just so deep, you know, and we're all so flawed. And then it got me thinking that, like, I just, like, as a child, like, we're all children, but the sooner we get introduced to the love of God, the better, you know? And I'm thinking, like, for my son, like, to try and introduce him to Jesus so he has an understanding that it's not what he does or it's not, you know, it's just who he is. Like, we're going to love him for who he is, and we love him because he's our son, and it doesn't matter what he does, and I guess that's freeing, you know, because I didn't grow up with that understanding. I didn't grow up in a bad family, but I didn't grow up with the understanding that, like, Jesus and God loves you regardless of what you do. It was always like, you know, you do good things and you're a good boy. You know, but you're a good boy from the start. So that's what That's what Jesus says, and it builds you up from there. Yeah, God's good. Was one of those pictures like of God? Like, I don't know, I just wonder how you would draw that, you know what I mean? I don't know, just a thought, yeah. I'm a great drawer, so just come and chat to me later.
God loves us, warts and all.
Amen. God loves us, warts and all, that's good.
And freckles.
And freckles, yes.
Yes.
There's an interesting thing as well, because as we've been slowing down to a pace that is stopping, and sitting in Ephesians 4, that reminds us as well to make room for our brothers and sisters' errors.
Amen.
You know, there's a perfectionism in the church that says you can't be any of those people now because you've found Jesus, which is theologically true because we're born again, but the reality is that Paul said the things I don't want to do I'm doing, the things I do want to do I'm not doing yet. And so I pray that we would continue to have that circle where we actually make room for each other's errors and allow that not to push each other away, but to draw us in closer together as a kingdom family. And my prayer is that those will permeate you, that word, that permeate out into the earth. And I really feel like this is the start of something really fresh of what the Spirit is doing. And it's beautiful that you connect. Like, imagine being able to sit down with someone who doesn't know anything about the kingdom of God or Jesus or the Father or the Holy Spirit, and being able to just walk through those nine with them. So have you ever experienced this? Oh, that third one. Oh, that's me to a T. And then have the Holy Spirit be able to minister that person in that moment so they can come out of bondage in freedom. That sounds to me like a really, really great evangelism tool. Not for an evangelist, but for the body of Christ. And it's way more than that. Would anyone else like to respond to it, or has a thought or a question? Feel free, please.
Yeah, definitely some of them, especially the first one about measuring up. And, you know, I see that in people. I love to study people as well, but that desire to be right and perfect and the great fear that we all struggle with sometimes when maybe we think, someone thinks that we've done the wrong thing, and there's such an amazing pushback I see in myself. You know, sometimes our behaviour can be so kind of violently against the idea that I could be wrong. And something that really God's revealed to me just recently is shame, the work of shame. Like, I realise now that, you know, sometimes when we look at, you know, forgive me for this example, but we look at kids that are in delinquency, and we recognise sometimes when we push back on their behaviour that they do it even more, that they dig in even more, and that's the work of shame. And I realised, just recently I realised, I've been doing that too. I realised this place in my life where there was this shame, and I suddenly realised that, you know, say for the last 2 or 3 years, I have been unable to shift that behaviour in my life. And it's just recently that I feel like God said to me, it's because you're living under shame because of that behaviour. And I realised it's a grip and it's a cycle. And that's not God's work. And I think that's why it's so, yeah, it's important for us to come to terms with the fact there is no condemnation. And especially, like you said, in dealing with others in the church who are struggling with behaviour, shame is not going to help. It's going to reinforce for them that behaviour. They're going to dig deeper into that because they're living under shame. So I thank God for the revelation of how He loves us. And I look at the fact that in the beginning, God's been through a process of working through stuff with us from the beginning. You know, with the law, you know, and then to the point where it was, he sort of, I don't know how to explain it, but he's just worked through stuff with us through generations and generations and generations to the point where the process became about an internal work, not the law, you know, and I just am thankful. I don't know if I've made any sense to anybody, but yeah, just following on from that. Just the work of shame has no place in the church. Because God says there is no condemnation. His love is bigger than that. Yeah.
Thank you, Monique. Feel free to come and interrupt me. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, come.
Thanks, God. That was awesome. I just want to just take, see what happens in our nature is that, I mean, for many of us that might have been quite confronting, and especially when certain things think, oh my goodness, that's me. True. And our human nature is, okay, I don't like that about me, and I'm afraid, so I feel ashamed, and then I retreat and put up walls. Isn't that what we do? Rather than, okay, now's the time, God in His kindness, because we're on this journey together with Him, God in His kindness shows us different things that are in us. And remember, He knew all along. He's not taken by surprise. He was there when those things happened to us. He's not ashamed of us. Remember last time, He's never ashamed of us. Okay, so what I want to encourage you from what we've seen here, whatever one of those, and even if it was all of them, if you thought that that was something that was affecting you, now's the time to come in that humility and in your vulnerability. Don't put up any walls and then something to do with another time. Now's the time God wants to do. It may be a work, miraculous work, that He will heal you in this moment of things that happened to you, or perceptions you had, or even core beliefs that you got from those things that happened in your life. He can do a sovereign work. But most of the time, it's a process and a journey.
Yes.
It's a process. And I didn't know what you were going to talk about on today, but as we were worshipping, I saw a vision of this plane, and like it's a beautiful scene, there's mountains in the background. It's like walking on the plane, you know, like a flat field. And the Lord was walking there, and He just said, hold my hand and walk with me. And that's what, just simply what He wants to do. So what I want to encourage you to do, I don't know if you're going to do it now, but please don't let this day go by where the thing that touched your heart, that you begin a process with God with it. Some of you may already be on that process in those areas. But please don't let today go by. This is the moment. In God, there's moments of time. There's appointed times. And this is an appointed time because He's serious about transforming you into His image. He's serious about making you whole. He's like fair and can be serious about it. And He won't relent until He has all of you. And He's not ashamed, and He's not holding back of the things that have shaped and formed us. And so this is awesome what you brought forth today. And it's like first, like a shock, oh my God, oh, what a mess I am. True? It gets us. But God wants us to get, wants us to be open. You know, like you crack the nut open and there's a bit on the inside. And so that's what He's doing. That's the work of His Spirit, what He's been doing this morning. So I just encourage you, don't let the moment pass. Bring it to Him. And He'll bring healing and restoration. He will change you from the inside out. Because it's His delight to do it. So don't let shame or embarrassment or any other thing make you go backwards. Just go forward today, whatever those ones were that affected you, even if it was every single one of them. When it comes up today, you put the pictures up as well. Just go to God with it. And take His hand and let Him work His work. It might be quick in some, it might be a bit slower in others, but let Him do it. And the end result is going to be phenomenal. You're going to have the mind of Christ. You're going to be changed into His image.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
You're going to be made whole.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's the whole end game of it.
Amen.
Thank you, Karen. And as we have ministry time today, we have people in here that minister like this, like Karen and others. So they'll be up here ministering to you. So don't feel like you have to wait, because there's plenty of freedom and there's also plenty of purity and holiness in how people minister.
It's really cool that at the beginning of it, when you had the little thing about echo, Michelle asked me, what's that mean? I went, I don't know, I assume you'd get to it. And then when you just spoke about that thing of, you know, how great would it have been if there wasn't the fall, and just that echoing of true fatherhood that would have been, or parenting, that had come down through the line. And it's that thing that it's something I've often thought about. You just go, man, how good would it have been if Adam had have just said, I'm sorry, I stuffed up. Like that forgiveness, if it was at the very beginning, but you kind of go, the really great thing, you know, that regardless of what shape your parent or whoever, caregiver had, what hole was punched through you, God is transforming us. So I've always loved the Romans 8:28.
Yes.
And I always kind of gloss over the last bit of that description, because it just goes, you know, 8:28 is that all things work for good for those who love him and called according to his purpose. If you read through to 30, the last bit is even better. It goes, for he foresaw, he also predestined,
yes,
to be conformed to the image of his son.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter what image you felt you had to have. I grew up thinking you had to be the macho guy. That was, you know, that image that you brought up. I started to get a bit teary at that. And I try and let myself cry, because for years I was told you're not meant to cry. All that rubbish that I got. And just, you know, reading that next line, it just goes, you know, he predestined to conform to the image of his son. Man, it's amazing. And it keeps going on from there. You kind of, that's not all. It's not just that image, because we are his image bearers, but there's more than just the image. It goes, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, because it's about us as a family, many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he has also called. Who he has called, he has also justified. And who he has justified, these he also glorifies.
Yes.
So all of the stuff that we think we have to strain for to fill that hole, God not only says, I'm going to take it and use it for good, but it's also not necessary. You know, all the stuff that made me who I am, there's elements I don't like, but I love that I can use those elements now. I was talking to a client about it yesterday. It was awesome that for years I was a fighter, and I got taught really nasty stuff, which was awesome, because now I'm an osteopath. And the stuff I was taught as a fighter, I actually use as an osteopath. I have really great anatomy knowledge of what a body needs to function well, because I was taught how to break one. And it's just awesome that I look at that stuff that I go, for years I went, I can't, you know, I have to not look at that. I can't be that guy. And God just goes, it doesn't matter. You have knowledge, I'm going to use it. And that's amazing. And I'm going to justify that, and I'll make you better because of that. Not because I need to be better, but because it's in there. And he says, if it's in there, I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
So that's what he wants to do with every part of you. It's not just about filling the hole. It's about all the other rubbish that we thought we had to fill it with. He'll go, don't worry, I can use that too. It's all good when it's in God. So, yeah. Thanks, man. That's what the echo is.
Thanks, Dan. We've got a minister. We're going to have a song, or we're going to just sing some scripture song. I just want to read that scripture Snow read out again as we come to the ministry time. Don't feel like you have to wait to the end of the song. Just come forward. We'll pray for anyone. But it says this, verse 8 of Romans 8. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. You know, when it talks about it, it's saying it's a present reality, not a future thing. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also quicken your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. I want to repeat that, because it doesn't say this. He will quicken your eternal body. It says he will quicken your mortal body, which is your body before you pass to the next thing. I want to encourage you to think about this. As you come for ministry, as our friends have shared this morning, including Snow, everyone else, is that this reality of being set free is not a reality that we are hoping for to come when we reach some celestial place. It's actually a present day reality for your body you're in right now. And so a bit of a shift in theology is that we're not waiting for heaven to get this stuff. It's available right here, right now. And Christ is present. He's come to quicken your mortal body. That's a powerful thing. Not to quicken your heavenly body that you're going to get when you go. You know, I imagine you think of yourself, wow, I'm going to look like this when I'm in a heavenly body. Well, he says you can look like that right now. Because he quickened, listen to this, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, who's that, Yahweh, dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. It's a present day reality. And so as we sing and as we pray for each other and as we minister, we just ask Holy Spirit that you come, that you would shift and you would change. You would bring about reformation in our own lives. Yes. You would renew us. David cried in the Psalms, renew my spirit, renew my soul, renew my body. And Father, we ask for those realities to be present today. And so, Father, we just sing this song as a stance of faith that we believe that what our brother has spoken to us this morning can not only become a reality for us, but is a reality for humanity to pick up. And so all sons and all daughters, those who are home with you and those who are still on their way home, would find the realities of who they are in you alone, Christ Jesus. And so we just sing this song. We welcome you for ministry. If you're heading off or you're heading out for lunch, there's just one thing today. Can we just take all that stuff because we've got to set up for the funeral this afternoon. So be blessed. Have an outrageous time in God in the next few weeks. There's a heap of stuff on. Check out what we're doing online and things like that. Be blessed. If you're hanging around, we're going to have just worship and prayer and stuff before this afternoon. Everyone's welcome to stay. So be blessed in Jesus' wonderful name.